I mean, it's choir. But we all got in a circle and started singing with this guy. And he sang one of those couple of oldies. And it was so awesome and so powerful. I mean, I know Stephen sounded good, but Stephen made me sound good. We were all sounding so good. And every time they called it back up, it kept calling us back up. So every time we practiced, we kept getting called back in. And I thought, wow, it felt awesome. It felt awesome. That's why I say, please sing. but it was awesome. It was an awesome, awesome thing the other day. Oh, not the other day, the other walk. Amen. All right, we're going to talk about one tonight that actually is one that we don't like to talk about. So we're going to talk about it anyway. Amen. If we talk about what we shouldn't talk about, it'll cause trouble. But if we talk about what we feel uncomfortable talking about, but it's a good thing, it helps us grow. And every Tuesday night, if you don't get uncomfortable about something we're doing or something we're saying, then check yourself. Okay? Because I get uncomfortable myself sometimes, all right? If you don't get uncomfortable and or don't feel energized, there's a two-edged sword there, either uncomfortable or energized, then ask God to help you. You need to check up from the neck up, all right? So here we go. We're going to talk about this is one that, that I actually thought about it two or three times, prayed about it, and I really believe that the Lord gave it, said, here, this is it. And I didn't mean to get the borders off, but I did. So that's all right, because there's so much there. Borders being off gave me more room to work. All right. What he said, and I put it in Faith Building 101, God's word applied. Ever feel things are out of control? We have more control than imagine, maybe not the actual situation, but the way we see things and respond. Instead of listening into every random voice daily and responding accordingly, try listening to what God's word says, then respond, not react. Okay, so here we go. Here's how I said it. Y'all read that out loud with me, exactly what it says. Overcoming my mouth. Say it like it's written. Overcoming my mouth. So I didn't say overcoming somebody else's mouth. Overcoming my mouth. Okay? I have more problems with the guy that I brush his teeth and put his shoes on every morning than anybody else I know. Okay? It is a battle every day to make sure you say the right things at the right time. And sometimes it slips out before you, because your mouth, you know, I call it diarrhea of the mouth, constipation of the brain. But you just, your mouth opens up before your brain's in gear, and you just get going. And so it does good just to keep it going, okay? Think about what you say before you say it. So this is again, faith building, because the Bible says, you know, that as a man says, as a man thinks, as a man says, as a man does, he can bring it on himself. And so you gotta watch what you say. And the more I've learned in my classes, and the more I've learned over the years, you know, it's one thing to think a thing. It's another thing to say it. Right? Now, in the negative, I might think somebody's doing something. I'm thinking that was stupid. But if I say it, if I just thought it, at least I got a filter, and I can filter it out and say, you know, you didn't mean that. But if I say it out loud, then it's gone to the other person, and they're hearing it. Now you're deflating them or angering them or ruffling them. So a lot of times, so you got to stop, filter it through God's word. When you filter it through God's word before you say it. And then if there's going to be a confrontation, it's better to go get the chair, talk to the chair first, because once you hear it out of your mouth, it's going to sound different. I've said it myself. Well, that sure didn't sound the way I thought it. Or I thought it was going to be a whole lot simpler than that. Man, this is awful. I shouldn't have said that. So a lot of times, if you're going to have a confrontation, and when I say confrontation, I'm not talking about you just talking with somebody. You need to confront them about an issue. It's better to go what we call rehearse it. Rehearse it to the chair. Gives you a chance to listen to yourself. It gives you a chance to hear it versus in your head, because hearing it in my head and hearing it out of my mouth is a different thing. And it gives you a chance to tweak it and say, you know what, that didn't sound good. I think I better stay off of that. And then there's times where if you're having a problem with something, you're going to talk to somebody. If you got somebody you know that you can trust that'll keep their mouth shut, even after you do it yourself and you're still not satisfied or feel confident, maybe if you've got that one person that you can talk to, that you can bounce it off of, go to that one person and go, tell me what you think. And somebody's going to give you straight answer, not going to say something just to say something to make you feel good. They're going to give you a straight answer. That person will be a person to go to after you've done it to the chair, then you may want to do it to a non-partial, fair person that's going to tell you the truth and going to keep their mouth shut, okay, when you get through. Now, James says in James chapter 3, my brethren, be not many masters, don't be many teachers, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation, meaning the greater judgment. That's why I think about it. I think I said, oh, man, Lord, I know you called me, and I'm trying to do what you say, but then I realize now I'm really on the hot seat because I'm not just living it, and I'm not just telling it to two or three people. I'm pushing it out there. Lord, it better be right, because if it ain't right, I don't want you to be upset with me. That's why I always dig so deep in the Word so I can make sure it's a good thing, not a haphazard thing. Right. Well, think about this. A lot of times if somebody is not ready to receive it, and or they're not ready to receive the way you gave it, maybe it's improper, then they're not ready to receive your apology. So you have to wait. And sometimes, I've seen somebody, I saw a couple one time, just a couple. The wife was trying to do something. She was trying to better herself one way. He was trying to better himself another way. And he messed up. And she jumped him. I mean, she jumped him so hard. He just shut right down. And again, if you want your husband's women, if you want your husbands to talk to you, they have to be able to talk to you without fear of you attacking and without fear of you using it against them later. Because I don't want to open up if you're going to use it to attack me. I'm not going to want to open up if you're going to attack me when I'm opening up. I definitely want to open up if you're going to use it as a weapon against me. That's not the whole purpose. Okay? The purpose is to find comfort and hope and joy within people. In the same way with anybody, they're telling you something. You don't use it to fight back with them or spread it or whatever. It's a two-way street. It's all two-way. But I can't control the other side, but I can control this side. Here's what I was going to tell you, though. Here's those people. The wife jumped that husband and ate him up. The next day, the wife apologized to him. And then the husband's scared to go up to him because the husband's being apologizing. And he told me, I didn't know how to handle the whole situation. He said, but my wife came and told me, said, you know what? I'm sitting here mad at you because you slipped up on your commitment and I slip up on my commitment many times every day. And I'm judging you for that one slip up. Please forgive me. So again, they got to be ready. If they're not ready, it don't matter. You could bring them a dozen roses. You could bring them champagne. You could bring them a box of chocolate. If they're not ready to receive it, you just wasted money. Oh, yeah. Well, so here it says, for many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, here it goes, in word, the same as a perfect man. And the word perfect does not mean he's without flaw. It means he's mature. Again, mature. It does not mean that he's flawless. It means he's mature. He's learned how to handle criticism, how to give criticism. He's learned how to use his tongue in the right way. So, the same as a perfect man is able to bridle the whole body. Hear me? Bridle. What does a bridle mean? Bridle, why you stick a bridle in a horse's mouth? To control it. He's able to control his body because he's learned how to control his mouth. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouth that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold, also the ships, when they, though they be so great, are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. Now, if you look it up in the Greek, it's actually saying, oh, how big of a forest fire. How big of a forest fire does your tongue kindle? And it even says here, even so the tongue is a little member, and it can boast a great thing. See how much wood or how great a forest, a tiny spark, can set ablaze. Wow. Just that little bitty tongue can cause so much damage. For the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity, so is the tongue among our members, so it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea, and is tamed, and has been tamed of mankind, but the tongue no man can tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Let me just sit back up here where it says, it's set on the fire of hell. Now, that word hell has a lot of words, names. This word for hell is Gehenna. Gehenna is the valley, means the valley of Henna, which is where they took Molech. God's own people took Molech, a brazen image. And Molech was part man, part beast. And Molech would be here, and he would have his arms like this. He was brass, and he had his arms like this, and he had a hole inside of him where they would put a flame, and they would put the char in there and flame it and get it hot, and to offer their sacrifice to the pagan gods while they were still serving their god. They took and put their babies in the arms of Molech, and the baby would rise and die and burn to death in his arms. Now, this is what they think about, how nasty that is and how horrible that is. And God compares our tongue getting out of control to that kind of fire. Wow. That's heavy. I mean, that's heavy. You know, I find myself as I get older, I keep saying, God, help me keep my big mouth shut when I open it. I saw somebody yesterday, and I was just going to go by and say, hey, and keep on going, because I was in a hurry. I just dropped Bethany off at the eye care center. She was working out. I had to go to the Greenville. And 30 minutes later, I come back and told Bethany I was leaving. I said, I know. Bethany said, Dad. I said, I know. But when I got talking to the person got talking. It just, all of a sudden, I saw it. I heard it. And instead of going, you know what, I really have to go. Can I just, I'll see you later. I kept hearing it. So I just stopped and said, can I tell you something? This person had gone through a lot. She lost her husband. Her kids were going through things, all kinds of stuff. And the lady was a lot older than me. I'm talking to her. And I just said, you know what? You got a heart that God wants to use. And I just went on. And without even knowing that, that's what she was needing to hear. And her lips started trembling. She started crying. And she told me, she said, there's a reason I met you today. And she said, you just confirmed a lot of things in my life. Praise God. And she just, you know, and I just walked away and said, I said, well, God's with you, sister. And I backed off. And I thought about that thing. I spent just a few minutes talking with this widow. And instead of it being a burden of me to talk to her, instead the Lord wound up using what I said to bless her. Not me at all. I'm just, you know, I'm the mailman. What I'm just saying is, he sent the mail. And I thank God for it. But then I think about the times I go up there and, you know, and don't do that. Or the times I go up there and take it as a chance to hit somebody with my mouth. I know y'all have never hit somebody low blow with your mouth. But I'm not talking about literally. I'm talking about not just my foot. Both feet, my hands. You know, so here we go. You got to be careful. God is telling this right here, the power of the tongue. All this was written about it. And we're going to talk about it right here. But here it goes. Therewith we bless God, even the Father, and therewith we curse men which are made after the similitude of God. And again, he talked about Molech in the valley of Hinnom, where they burnt the baby. They were worshiping God, but at the same time they were worshiping other gods and burning their own babies, putting them alive in the arms of Molech. Okay, so here he's saying here, we bless God with the Father, even the Father, therefore we curse men that are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessings and cursings. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth the fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine, fig? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Then it starts talking about strife, bitterness and enviousness and strife. But you know where that comes from? The tongue. We can cause more trouble with our tongue than anything else that we've got. And it doesn't take long. And it seems like any time I say something, the Bible says, watch how you talk about the king, because the little bird is going to tell him. That's what it says in Ecclesiastes. The little bird's going to tell him. Well, I guarantee you, you say something, it's going to come back to you some way, somehow. So I try to make sure it's good stuff that comes back to me. All right? So here we go. And that now before we get started on this, let me just say something. Now, here we go right now. We're on the paper right now. Okay. Overcome my mouth. My daily morning mouth checklist. Y'all say that three times real fast. My daily morning mouth checklist. My daily morning mouth checklist. My daily morning mouth checklist. Well, I did it. Hey, praise God. All right. Now, before we get started, is there anybody in here that doesn't need to hear and doesn't even matter because they're even beyond this? Put a hand up. Or sneeze. No, put a hand up. See, we all need to hear it. It's something we all need to hear. This is part of that checkup from the neck up. We all need to hear it because it gets away with us. Sometimes you're just holding it so. Now Stephen's got a snotty perm. I will tell you that one time somebody in church stood up and said, please pray for me. I can hardly move. I've got the flu, and they shouldn't have been at church. And they were talking about how bad they were, and they sat down, and they were sitting behind Linda, and then they started coughing, and it started blowing Linda's hair. And then they sneezed, and her hair went, phew. And Linda looked at me, and she said, dear, next time you see something like that, please just look at me and point me to go the other way. Okay, so here we go. And this, we all have to go. This is the checkup from the neck up. This is what we can say to ourselves every morning when we get ready to walk out the door. God's word says that by my words, and I'm going to hear and I'm going to give you the scriptures, but this is our checklist. All right, God's word says that by my words, I am justified. And by my words, I am condemned. Wow, did you realize you had that much power? Wow. It's amazing. You know, two brothers, and one of them's faithful, one of them's not faithful. One of them's got a very cheerful personality, one of them's got a very negative personality, and they're both going through the same thing. They're both experiencing the same thing in their family, but one is just doing great, and the other one is just, wow. I've seen that so many times as a pastor when there's a death in the family or a problem in the family, and one of the brothers or one of the sisters or part of the family, they're very faithful and they've got a very strong faith in God, and the other part don't. And I see so much difference, although they come from the same place, they're just so different. I mean, here, know what I'm talking about. You got a brother or sister so different than you. You know, like I told you, Mama had three normal children and one exceptional child. Every time I say that, my brothers do this. Talking about themselves. I have twin brothers. I'm taller than they are, but if we ever take a picture, here's what you're going to see. I'm standing here like this, and they're on each side of me doing this. And so they keep getting tall and short, depending on what they're standing on and how far they can get their toes up. Hey, amen. So, here we go. I put guard over my mouth. I choose. You got to remember that word choose. Choose. Nobody can make you say or do anything. Listen carefully. and those spouses are good for this. You make me so mad. You made me say that. You made me break that. You made me do that. No. You know, it's like feelings. You know, feelings do not come from events. Did you know that? How many said something happened to you and you just didn't like it? Feelings do not come from feelings. F-E-E-L-I-G. Yes. Feelings do not come from events. If that was so, everybody would feel the same way at that same event. Feelings come from your thoughts about that event. Change your thought, change your feelings. Change your thoughts, change your feelings. So, again, you didn't make me. I chose it. You made me angry, but I chose the path I took with that anger. I chose that path. So, speak words of life, health, and healing. I choose to speak words that are only gracious and kind. I choose to speak words that are only gracious and kind. Y'all say that out loud with me. I choose to speak words that are only gracious and kind. What is gracious and kind? Gracious is giving somebody something they don't deserve. They didn't earn it. So, if I come up, you know, it's like, just the other day I was in the store and somebody, it was crazy because the store was just a food line out there by my father-in-law's house, and I was going to get something for him. And here comes, first this guy came up, he was about that tall. His arms were about that big around. He come around the corner and he walked right dead into me. And I don't know whether he was sizing me up. I have no idea what was going on. But I looked down at him, and he went. And I told Linda, I said, I started to go. And then smile. But I didn't. I just looked at him and smiled. And I looked at him and smiled. He looked at me like I'd lost it, and he walked off. Then a lady come around the corner in her shopping cart. Not in her shopping cart, pushing her shopping cart, and about knocked me down. Now, again, with him, I was gracious. With her, I was gracious. Then I tried to go get in line, and somebody jumps in front of me. With them, I was almost gracious. No, I was gracious. Okay. Because I keep thinking, God, am I being gracious? I'm being gracious in the way I act. And so again, you got to think about these things. This is not something that, even though you may have all of us have different personalities, all of us have different bents, all of us have different attitudes, and some of us it's a lot easier. Some of us it comes more natural than others, but you have to go beyond the natural, ask God to help you into the supernatural, and in the supernatural help, then God can help this be a natural thing for you. So, God's word says, by my words I am justified, and by my words I am condemned. Not your words, my words. Being gracious is giving somebody. Yes, it is. It is. Kind and gracious are similar. You're right. It's like, you got to do it right. You got to do it right. Okay. Now here we go. I will not speak evil of any person. I will not speak evil of any person. I will not gossip or spread rumors. I will not speak words of death, destruction, or discouragement. Okay? I will be mindful to speak words that encourage, uplift, and inspire others. I refuse to criticize, condemn, and complain. Now, let me ask you a question. That hits me right between the eyes. It hit me right between the eyes. Yeah. I mean that hits right between the eyes, because the older I get, the better I was. And the older I get, I see things that like people aren't taught manners like they were. People aren't taught commitment like they were. They're not being taught graciousness. And there's people that you go in a grocery store, you go somewhere, and there's people, like I watched, like I told you, I watched a guy knock over knock over something in Food Lion one night. Knocked it right over on the floor. And his wife said, "Pick that up." He said, "I ain't gonna pick it up. They hired people." And I see this. And there's times where I want to walk up behind people and I see them talking to, I'm watching kids talk to their mama in the grocery store. There's times I want to just pick them up right by the shirt and go, "You know who you're talking to?" You know, that's the age we live in. So, that being the age that we live in, we've got to, within all power, it's got to be God's power. We have to go beyond trying. I refuse. That doesn't mean that I haven't. I have to ask myself every day, God, am I criticizing? God, am I condemning? There's a difference in criticizing and condemning. What's the difference in criticizing, condemning, and complaining? What's the difference? There's a difference. There you go. It was good, Stephen. I mean, that's impressive. Criticizing can be constructive, but in a negative sense, it's not. In my leadership class I'm doing right now, it's talking about the personality of a leader, and it's talking about being like Christ, which I really enjoy going to a college that incorporates Christ in everything. And so in this leadership class, it says what we have to do is we have to, look, all right, watch this. Criticizing can be good, it can be negative, positive or negative. It can be constructive or destructive. Constructive criticism, some people can't even handle constructive criticism. That's why you got to be careful. Because even constructive criticism, they'll think you're coming down on them, and you're not. So there's constructive criticism, there's destructive criticism. Condemnation is never positive. Condemn means, you say this prisoner was condemned, what's usually getting ready to happen to him? Execution. Okay? Now, to complain. Is that positive? Well, let me just tell you something. Done right, in the right circumstance, it can be positive. But complaining in that way is going to be back to positive criticism. You go to the store and you don't get what you ordered. It's cold. You've been in a drive-thru for 30 minutes. It's cold. It's the wrong order. You can't even eat it so hard. Are you just going to keep on driving and eating, or throw it out the window? Or are you going to go back in the shower? Now, Russell, I'm trying to tell you, that's okay. That's okay. Now, I wouldn't say give me anything extra. I just, you know, just that. Wait a minute. Okay. No. Again, remember, just the other night, we went to Taco Bell. It was Linda's birthday. She got her hair done. And I said, "Wherever you want to eat, you pick." She says, "Actually, you're not going to believe this, but I really rather have Taco Bell." I said, "Okay." As we got Taco Bell, went to the waterfront. And when we got Taco Bell, the lady never looked at us in the face. She was handing stuff out like this, and Linda was having to catch it. Yeah, from the drive-thru. She was handing stuff out like this. And Linda was trying to catch it. She said, "Excuse me." And so lady, and then when we got the order, we didn't get the complete order, and we didn't get any sauces or anything. It was just like, wow. You know, and so Linda said, "You know what? Maybe I ought just to tell them my experience." It says in the bottom, "Please tell us so we can better serve you." They're inviting it. So I hope she did. She could tell it, you know, that she could get a better service. But just to go in there because I didn't like the girl's hair. I went in there, I told you one time at McDonald's, and the girl had like blue, green, red, purple hair streaks here and there. And she looked at me and said, can I help you? And I said, yeah, tell me something. She said, what? I said, did you eat some Skittles and they blew out the top of your head? And she said, and she started laughing. And whoever was with me said, you don't need to do that. And I said, if people don't want to play with them, they shouldn't do that. So what I was going to say is, though, you got to be careful how you criticize, because you can criticize and it not be bad. You can complain and not be bad, but you cannot condemn and not be bad. Ever. Ever. Okay? So here's what we're going to do. Try from here on out. Try practicing. Okay? Try practicing with somebody. Look in the mirror. Matter of fact, I look in the mirror sometimes. It scares me, but I look in the mirror. And I practice, because I don't want to look mean. I came up the other day. I went and bought something at Target. The tag said $16. I go up there and it says $21. So I go back and get the tag. This is happening more and more all the time. You never get what you say. There's always a lot of that. So I bring it back and I said, ma'am, I know it says $21, but look at this. And she said, well, sir, that's a different item. I said, it says a 15-inch frying pan. This is the 15-inch frying pan. It said this brand is this brand. It says the same description of that frying pan. There's no other frying pans on the shelf. That was it. And she says, so then she marked it down. And then she said, but I need to tell you, this is not the same frying pan. And I said, well, I didn't put the frying pan up there. That frying pan's been there every time I come in the store and I decided to get it. And that tag's right there. And so I told her, I said, look, you ain't even got to mark the price down. I said, but just do me a favor. Go back there and change that thing for the next person. Yeah, very bad for that. And so, again, it's not wrong if you criticize in the right way. I didn't fuss at her. I didn't cuss at her. I didn't tell her she was stupid. I didn't throw a fit in front of the whole store and holler. I just said, ma'am, look, this is what this says. And this is what you're doing. And this is 15-inch frying pan by whatever cookware. That says 15-inch frying pan, whatever cookware. She said, but it's very, if you look down at the very little fine print. And I said, yeah, I said, well, I didn't have a computer on me to, you know. And so, again, there's nothing wrong with that. But if I just come up and I didn't like the way you looked, or I come up and you did something and I didn't think you did it right, and now all of a sudden I'm down your back, I'm criticizing you, that's different. That's a whole different ballgame. So you got to ask God. So don't just because I'm saying don't criticize, condemn, or complain. Do not condemn ever. If you're going to complain, let it be like a positive criticism. You're complaining. And the reason you're complaining is you didn't get what you expected. You go to Walmart, you don't get what you expect. It's okay to go to complain department. It's okay. If you go order something that's not right, it's okay. I ordered something one time at a restaurant not long ago, and I'm going to tell you what, when I got it, I wasn't even sure it was the same thing I ordered, and I asked for it medium rare, and it was so done it was crunchy. And so I said, ma'am, she said, yes, sir. I said, do you remember me saying medium rare? She said, I sure do. I said, does this look medium rare? Was it Logan's? I said, does this look medium rare to you? She says, looks burnt to me. And I said, well, we got a problem, because I don't like burnt meat. And so she brought me out a second burnt. And so I said, well, the cook must have a, they're seeing odd dog must be off of work tonight. They didn't tell them bark once for medium, twice for well done. I don't know. So I carried that one home with me. I didn't even eat it. Yeah. Oh, yeah, you did. Yeah, Bethany did. Yeah, you ate that one. You did. She sure did. What I was going to say is, it's okay. So, I don't know. Okay. So now that we got that straight, I didn't mean to go and dwell on this so long, but I just had to make sure you understood criticizing as long as it's positive and uplifting. Okay. If you're a boss, every day as a boss, I had to go critique. I like the word, use the word critique. I would go along to my people and I would critique their work and I would tell them what I saw wrong and what they had to do right. My boss come to me and he would critique what we did and he'd say, I want this done different. So, again, now. Well, I think a critique is a positive thing. All right, no condemnation because the only person that can send somebody to hell is God. I can't complain if it's a critique. Get it? I can complain if it's a critique. I cannot complain if it's not a critique, because then I've just made it. You know, I was listening to a Christian person just the other day. I come up behind them and they were talking. They didn't even know I was in the room. They were in the room, and I heard them say, "This is what I heard them say." 90% of all Christians are going to go to hell. Oh, really? And 90% of church members, they're going to hell. So there's only be a little bit of remnant. And he went on and on and on and just cut the church down and cut the church down and cut the church down. He said, but I try to live holy before my God. And then he went on and on and on like he was mad, like he was going to attack. And all of, and for the first time, this scripture came to me. If I have all these gifts and have not love, I'm a sounding brass in a tinkling cymbal. And the more he talked, the more I heard. Boom, 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 boom. Huh? That's what I do with Bethany. I told Bethany, you know, the guy walks in the back, down, 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 bump, bump. I walk with Bethany. I do it to myself. Bump, bump, bump. But what I'm saying is again, all I could hear, I didn't hear love. I didn't hear compassion. I didn't hear anything. All I heard was 90% of churches going to hell. And that was so condemning. I mean, that was a condemning thing. Number one, the only way I can know 90% of people are going to go to hell is to go to 100% of the churches. That's the only way I can tell if 90% is going to hell, if I go to 100%. And I've got to know how many in that are actually serving God and who aren't. I've got to have a lot of knowledge. The only person that can do that is who? That's right. Now, God did give us this percentage. He said, two's going to be in the field, one's going to be taken. Two's going to be in the bed, and one's going to be taken. Two's going to be on the roof, one's going to be taken. He says there's five foolish and five wise virgins. He said five are going to make it in and five are going to be left out. Now, with that kind of percentage, God says, that's God, not me. That's not me coming up 90%. That's God saying. That's God, not me. Says that there's going to be 50% going to be cold. That's him, not me. And I can back it up with Scripture. That 90%, I can't back up with Scripture. I mean, I can't pull that statistic out and go, but I know for a fact. No, you don't know for a fact. Again, that's condemning. Condemning, sounding brass and tinkling cymbal. All right, so now, I refuse to give into the temptation to speak before I think. Remember, I talked about that a while ago. Every time I do that, I get myself in trouble. Every time I talk before I think about it, I get in trouble. And I have to go back, apologize to them, apologize to God, and even to apologize to myself. I refuse to speak the wrong words when I'm frustrated or angry. That's easier said than done. See, remember, this is something that you have to revive every day, because every day it's a different battle. Every day you have to go across and do this. Look, I choose not to be sarcastic or condescending in my communication with others. You know, sarcasm, now some of it's okay. You know, people just love, some people, that's how they joke. They joke with sarcasm. And you know that, and you can live with it. That's fine. But people, usually when somebody is very sarcastic with you, especially somebody that hadn't been sarcastic with you, if they're being sarcastic, they don't tell you what's going on. They're angry at you. And they're holding it in. And it's squeezing out. You know how it's squeezing out? It's squeezing out with sarcasm. And so they don't understand that at least if I go ahead and tell you I'm angry and let's get this over with, at least now we can deal with it. But as long as I'm easing that poison of sarcasm out, not only am I not handling the problem, I'm making it worse. Because now I'm pushing you away. Sarcasm. I try my best not to be sarcastic. I try my best. Now, just cutting up, yeah, I'll be sarcastic. Like today, you know, I had two or three people, and I was being funny. This is a funny sarcasm. Funny sarcasm. This was not, I was not angry. This was just funny. I was asked twice today, did I know I had a hair? Oh, you know, did you get a haircut? Did you know you had a haircut or something like that? And I said, you know what? That's the second time I've heard it. It must be true. You know, that was just a joke. That was not anger. That was just a joke. You know, and that's fun. That's okay. I'm talking about people that get, they're mad at the world and they're sarcastic to everybody. But especially somebody has not been sarcastic to you and all of a sudden they're sarcastic. Know this, they're angry at you. And it's better to go ahead and get it out than to keep oozing that poison of sarcasm. Because that sarcasm will eventually turn you to, you won't even talk to that person. Okay? Especially your spouse. You say sarcastic at your spouse long enough, your spouse will shut up, will clam up. Okay? Will clam up and lose every opportunity you got to talk to them because they already get, if I'm going to get sarcasm, I don't need it. I really don't, I ain't got time for that. So here we go. I choose not to be sarcastic. And also, sarcasm also, not only is it anger, but it becomes pride. Because when you start speaking sarcastic in a desperate, I mean, in a bad sense, when you're speaking sarcasm, you're also speaking condescending to them. You're speaking down to them. And so you're never going to win anybody over by speaking down to them. You always have to get down. It's like my father-in-law's got this cat. He's got two cats. One's called Yaki and one's called Goldie. Yaki is a little black cat. He's noisy. He stays all around, gets up and up under your feet. But Goldie is a big old fluffy cat that the only person he'll go to is my mother-in-law and my father-in-law. Well, Linda's trying to make friends with with Goldie. So last night after we ate, she goes over and Goldie's out in the yard, so she's trying to feed Goldie. Well, Goldie goes further and further and further. So Linda lays on the ground. No. I thought I was going to have to call 911. Yeah. No, she lays on the ground, and now she can feed Yaki, and Yaki comes to her. I mean, Goldie. You know why? Because she's not over towering. She's on the same level. Okay? She still had a hard time getting her, but she got a whole lot more than I did because I got to Goldie, and Goldie ran. I was standing up. Linda said, you need to get on the ground. I said, no, my knees hurt too bad to get down on the ground. I'm just going to stay up here. So I never got a chance to mess with the cat. So, again, when you're condescending or sarcastic, here's what you're doing. Watch. This is all big man to do this to, but look. No, look. When I'm being sarcastic and I'm condescending, then here's what I'm doing. I'm looking down on you. Pride's got me looking down on you. Anger's got me oozing out at you. And you know what? We're never going to solve a thing. Because number one, you may feel threatened and or just shut down. If I want to really talk to you about something, watch, here's what I do. Look, here's what I do. How you doing, bro? Y'all seen me do that before? I get down and talk to people because I'm talking to them. I don't want to feel like I'm a bear over top of them getting ready to paw them to death. I want to, you know, look, here we are. We're going to talk. Yeah, we do. We have to get down. Yeah, whatever it is, whatever we have to do, we do so we can talk to them. No, we don't have to lay on. We ain't going to lay on the floor because there's urine in there. I come in there before and they go, I've had to step in urine to get over there. No. Yeah, he's sad. Well, the reason that's up there is actually so people can hear. Right. 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 Of course. Well, that's why he became a carpenter. Because he didn't come down as a king. He came down as a carpenter. So he could be on our level. Okay? Now here, I put God's word in my mouth. I speak his promises over my life. And Bethany and I do it every morning. On the way not surrender prayer, the other one. We have several prayers, and I've got it written down. I've got the prayer written down, so I won't miss it. And I say this prayer, and I add stuff to it, but I make sure I say the prayer. Okay, now, promise of my life and the lives of others during the day. Okay, I am sensitive to the needs of others. I am quick to speak words of comfort, peace, and kindness to everyone I meet. Sometimes it's hard to speak comfort and peace to people that you meet because you know they're just going to use you. You know they're just going to get what they can out of you and leave. That's where you got to be gracious and kind, but wisdom. Wisdom to know when and how to help. Okay? You can't treat, if people say you need to treat everybody the same, it's impossible to treat everybody the same. You can't even treat all your kids the same. You can have the same love, but you can't treat them the same because one kid don't need what the other kid needs. That's right. All right. We didn't ask anything from the monkey section over there. All right. My words bring hope, faith, encouragement to all that hear them. Okay? Now, I happen to have been privy to a while back. I had to be privy. I was actually counseling. And it was just informal. I was just talking. It wasn't even a counseling session. I was just talking with a person that I knew. And the person that I knew had gone to a Christian that counseled, and then they went to a Christian counselor. There's a difference. A Christian that counsels usually just uses psychology. A Christian counselor usually just uses the word. There may be a little bit sprinkled. I am a pastoral counselor. Pastoral counselor mixes scripture with psychology together. Okay, that's what a pastoral counselor does. All right. So what I was going to say is that they told me, they said, I had this problem, and I went to the counselor, the Christian that counseled, and said they never spoke about God. I gave 3 visits to them. They never one time spoke about God. They never one time talked about the scriptures. They never one time said, well, here's how God would handle this situation. Matter of fact, they said I didn't really get a whole lot out of it. And they were hour sessions. And they said with the Christian counselor, it was 15-minute sessions. And I got more out of 15-minute session than I did out of the hour session because the one that was just giving me psychology didn't even tell me if I could do it or not. It didn't even help me. You know, you can get through this. It's going to be okay. It was like, well, why do you feel that way? What do you think? Blah, 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 blah. And said, but a Christian counselor, the one that was using the scripture, said, we can get through this. God's here. He's going to help. There is hope, blah, blah, blah. And so the person told me when I went to the Christian counselor, I felt so good when I left. When I went to the Christian that counseled, I felt as defeated when I left. Okay? So again, you know, when I talk with people, I still use the stuff I learned and the charts and all that stuff I learned and the different techniques I learned, but I always incorporate God in everything I do. Because I know that's even proven 50% of counseling, 50%, this is what's known. Now, it could be higher or lower overall, but what's known, 50% of counseling winds up falling by the wayside, going by, and the person has to go back over again and over again. This is by what they've taken tracks of, okay, in their whatever they used to track. But 95% of Christian counseling stayed. They got up, moved on, and moved forward. So it's important we incorporate Christ and use words. We've got to use faith and hope and encouragement to all that we talk to, even if they're not Christians. You know, it tickles me at times when you go in there in the prison, you're talking to somebody, and they're going, and I go, do you know Jesus Christ? Well, my mama served him. And I go, no, do you know him? Well, my daddy was a deacon. I said, no, do you know me as your personal savior? So the first thing we do is we pray the sinner's prayer. But then he'll tell me something like, well, you know, I knew something was different when y'all came up. Y'all, our whole group said, because when y'all come up, we feel something. And the guards tell us when our group leaves, they have peace in the prison for a night or two. It's because we're bringing Christ, not us. Lord knows, if you look at us, we look like the hairless bear bunch. The hair bear bunch. We look like the hair bear bunch going up there. We look like Cosby and the Cosby kids going in that place. You know, but again, we're not talking about us. We're talking about God. All about God. All about Jesus and what he can do. All right. Here's the scriptures, and then we're going to close, unless you got some comments or questions. The Bible says in Matthew 20 or 12 and 37, this is the New King James Version, it says, "For by your words you'll be justified, and by your words you'll be condemned." And here's the message. Every one of these careless words is going to come back to haunt you. Wow. 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 There will be a time of reckoning. Words are powerful. Take them seriously. Words can be your salvation, or words can also be your damnation. Wow. That's something. Now, here's Colossians 3 and 12. "Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, you must also do. But above all these things, put on love, which is a bond of perfection." And here's the message. So, chosen by God for this new life of love, dressed in the wardrobe God picked out for you, compassion, kindness, humility, quiet strength, discipline. Be even-tempered, content with second place, quick to forgive an offense. Forgive as quickly and completely as the Master forgave you. And regardless of what else you put on, wear love. It's your basic all-purpose garment. Never be without it. When you've got that going on, you can do all this stuff that we just read, our little morning checklist. Ephesians 4:29. "Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers." The message: watch the way you talk. Let nothing foul or dirty come out of your mouth, so only that helps. Each word you give is a gift. You can always tell. You might not know that God's using you. But let me give you a little hint. If you're talking with somebody, and while you're talking with them, especially if you're talking about Christ, and you're talking about how God has used them in their life or something, and you're talking with somebody, and all of a sudden you see their lips start trembling, or you see a tear start coming out of their eye, know this: the words that are coming out of your mouth is a gift, not from you. It's coming from God. God's using you to edify someone. And so, when you see that happening, be sure. Listen carefully. When you see that happening, please be sure not to add to or take away. When you feel like God's through, do everybody a favor. Be quiet. Okay? Because you can dig up the seeds you just planted. That woman told me that yesterday. She was crying and she was talking. I had no idea this was going to happen. Right here in Walmart. And she just a boo-hooing. You know? And when I walked away, she said, "I thank God I saw you today." And I said, "I thank God that I saw you today. Isn't God awesome?" And I walked away. Because I knew if I kept on talking, I'd dig up the seed. And I weren't about to dig it up. I learned that a long time ago. So when you know that God's using you, leave it alone. Back away. Unless God's telling you to stay there. Back away. And let God do the work. Right? Any questions? Comments? Watch how you tell me that. Any critiques? No condemnation. Anybody? Okay. Is there any more questions? Okay. Go ahead. My Linda? Okay, my Linda. What kind of dog is it? Oh. No, we're not adopting it. That's not condemning. That's not complaining. That's criticizing. We're not. I had to, this is going to be crazy, but I got bit. That could be protecting you. Well, you're scary, man. You're a big guy. What's that? Garfield. Yeah. Well, let's pray so we can go ahead and if you got to leave, you can leave. Father, we thank you for this night. We thank you for your word. And God, yes, it was not necessarily the most awesome of words, but if we can use this, it'll make us feel better at the end of the day. It'll make us feel better when we get around people. And Lord, all of us, every last one of us can learn from this every day. We're human. But we got to understand that you set the heights and you set the limits, God, not us. And when you set them, they're attainable. When we set them, they're not. Are too easy to obtain. But when you set them, we got to strain for it, but it's going to be perfect. And God, this one here we got to strain for, but we can be perfect or mature, and we thank you for it right now. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Church said, amen.